Ready?
Ready.
So, hi everybody, my name is Barry, I'm an alcoholic.
Hey Barry.
Hey Barry.
An addict, and I have codependency issues. I'm working on them. So I've been through the steps where they're written in the book, with the help of God and another man. I'm practicing steps 10, 11, and 12 to the best of my willingness, and I do mean my willingness. And I've made many, many amends, but I still have more to go, which someday they'll get done. Maybe not, but I'm here to do them. Thanks for being the chairperson. And thank you, everybody who's come today. I have experience with this step. And in this group, we break down step 12 into two parts. And today we're talking about practicing the principles in all of our affairs. And just to look at it for a minute, there's three more chapters after chapter 7 that talk about the wives, the family, afterwards, and one called to the employers, and the last one called the vision for you. And I look at those three as I have a part in those three chapters, the wives, family afterwards, and the employer, but it's not my big part. My big part is in this chapter. This part I tend to call it the Al-Anon chapters because it's really part of the literature that was developed for those people to look at, to help them understand the alcoholic in the workplace, the alcoholic in the relationship with the wife, and the alcoholic in the family afterwards. It's for the family, it's for the wife, it's for the employer. We could be helpful by showing up to work again and being the right person and maybe being able to give some practical advice, as it's mentioned in the reading that we just did. So 96.2 is where we started, and it says you're making your second visit to a man. He has read this volume and says he's prepared to go through the 12 sets of the program of recovery. And that's part of what happened with me and my experience with this, is that my sponsor suggested that the guy that I asked, that I read the first 63 pages of the book. I had already once before read the whole entire book, but he suggested that I read the first 63 pages from the front page through 63 to the bottom of the page, and then we would get back and look at the work together and read it together. And he's read the volume, and he's prepared to go through the 12 steps of the program of recovery. And then it says, having had the experience yourself, you can give him much practical advice. This is me now. I am the alcoholic who's done the steps. I am the guy who can win the confidence of another man in a few short hours because I'm properly armed with the facts in the book. It tells me that. It also tells me later on page 164 that we read every time that we finish this meeting, it tells me I cannot transmit that something that I haven't got. And how do I have something? Well, I've had to have a spiritual awakening, a spiritual experience, a psychic change, whatever you want to call it, and however it happened to you. Things have changed in my life. No longer am I self or self-seeking, dishonest, and fearful. I shouldn't say no longer am I not. Those things, I have tastes of them. But I get to recognize them today where I didn't recognize them before. And how do I practice these principles in all of my affairs? Having patience, tolerance, kindliness, and love in my life. Also, asking God to help me when I need help before I say something. How do I get this information is where practical advice comes in. Is that I've had a lot of experiences in my few short years in Alcoholics Anonymous, with other men, with their families, with their wives, with my own family, right, with my friends, my boss. I've had all those experiences, and some of them haven't been so great in my recovery. One time my boss said, I was trying to tell you, they were changing the computer system. And I said, what's the matter with the one we got? It's great, we're doing really good. Why do you want me to have to recreate a database which I spent months creating a spreadsheet to have all this stuff in it? And he's like, Because I'm asking you to do it. And if you don't want to do it, you don't have a contract, you don't have to stay. Now, typically, my thing would have been like, Baba Fungul, and I'm leaving, and goodbye, in the days. But instead, I got to take a look at myself and say, yeah, he's in charge. I'm not in charge. He wants me to do it. He wants me to spend this time. I'll spend this time. And then in the back of my mind is, I'll really spend this time. You know, it's a good way to take advantage. And believe me, I dabbled in that until I realized that's not the right thing to do. So that's practicing the principles in all of my affairs. This is what I've learned here. And this is where the idea of Silkworth talking about moral psychology comes into play. Moral psychology is making these changes in my life and taking them out into the world and practicing them. The idea of not drinking anymore and the allergy, that's gone at this point. I don't have a desire to drink anymore. But I do, as time goes on, have more and more incidents in my life that help me to enlarge my spiritual life. And that's the long and the short of where my life is today. So the idea of practical being actually or so acquired thought or qualified by practice. They use practice to talk about practical. I don't like when the dictionary does that. It uses the same word to tell you the word you're trying to figure out what it is. But they do. But it also, you know, in this literature, it talks about frothy emotional appeal seldom suffices. Like, I can't go and talk to anybody and give them any kind of practical advice using frothy emotional appeal. What's that going to sound like to another alcoholic? That's not going to work. So what do I have to do? I have to be practically, properly armed with the facts in order to do these things. The basic text tells me that this is an avocation. It's a hobby. I'm not supposed to be embedded in it all the time. But when an alcoholic crosses my path, I may change what I'm going to do next. Yesterday, a guy that I'm helping with the work, with the steps, brought a friend from work who was a young man who had a problem with drinking. He sat in the meeting. Afterwards, we talked. And then I was dying to go fishing yesterday. I had netted my bait the night before. It was in the bucket, alive and well. I checked it in the morning before I came. And if I get there at 10 o'clock, it would be right at the height of where the little fishes, there was four of them on the chart, that said, I'm here waiting for you to catch me, right? Well, but I stayed there, right? Because I have one avocation and I have another avocation. Which one comes first? After my life, my family, my immediate needs to take care of myself happen, then I'm trying to help another alcoholic who's still sick and suffering, inside or outside the rooms, whoever it is. That's what it's all about for me. The clear-cut directions. I had to use the directions that it talks about in the book, the clear-cut directions, to be able to establish this relationship with a higher power to help me be put in a place where I can be of service to other people. How can I best serve thee, right? I don't get kind of rough with that word, thee, but how can I do the best thing that I could do? And I asked God to help me to have patience, tolerance, kindliness, and love in my life, that I could find the truth about myself to better help my fellow man. I ask for that on a daily basis. That just brings me closer to my higher power and makes things more practical for me, more comfortable for me, and I am more capable of being able to stop and listen to you rather than talk about myself. And believe me, I'd love to talk about myself. But when I do talk about myself, I try to use it as examples when I'm talking to another alcoholic about that maybe they could relate to, after I've listened to what they say. I have a friend that talks about, you know, when you're trying to help a new guy, is like you're kind of interviewing him. And he may not know it, but you're giving him the once-over if he's, like, really ready or not. And feel it sounds kind of strong, but it's pretty true when you look at the nuts and bolts about what's going on with it. So a baith, practice the principles in all my affairs. The word principles is a basic truth, a rule or standard of personal conduct, moral or ethical standards, or judgments, a rule of or of law concerning the functioning of natural phenomena. What do you think? Principles. Big definition for that. Rules and standards. And they talk about moral and ethical. And that's what we're learning here. We're learning how to be helpful. And how are we doing that? Well, we're turning our will and our life over to the care of God as I understand Him. My job is to burn it into the newcomer's conscience that all he has to do is trust God and clean house. I think there's a little more to that. You may want to tell him that it's essential to have an open mind, to be willing and to be honest. Because it says in the literature that if we can be honest, we could find the truth and we could do these steps. If we're, what does it say, emotionally incapable of being honest with ourselves, we're stuck. We can't do it. Our chances are less than average. So there's two types. The emotionally incapable guy, and then there's the rest of us who come in here with all kinds of problems and woes and foes and don't know what to do with them. I've got 8 minutes and I haven't gotten to the second page yet, but I'll get going. All right. It talks about him being homeless, and you might try to help him by getting a job for him and a little financial financial assistance. You know, I brought people into my house, a guy named Jesus, this gal named Jane, and a friend of mine, Adrian. Adrian came into my house, wanted to stay too long. I told him, you can't stay any longer. You said this amount of time, you got to leave. He didn't want me to snore, right? Can I stop snoring? And there was coffee smell coming in the window, and he didn't like that. He wanted me to go down there and talk to the donut place, right? I said, Adrian, you go talk to the donut guy. He's going to tell you in Indian what to do with yourself, you know. Can I stop snoring? I said, you know, get some earplugs. I'm not shutting my door, and the air conditioning isn't going to get in my room, you know. Jane came, and Jane was somebody that I made a deal with her. She was going to feed me healthy, and I was going to provide her a place while she went to yoga school. Big mistake, right? Jane would make pots of rice, put it in there, and that was what I was going to eat for the week. It was supposed to be, I forget what it was called, but whatever it wasn't it. And I went away one time, and Jane was there by herself. I came back, a favorite piece of pottery of mine was broken. There was a fight that happened with her and her boyfriend. And Jane says, oh, could I stay again? I said, no, Jane, you got to leave. You got to leave now. No more. And then there was Jesus, who was a homeless guy in the streets of the Bronx. And I brought him home. Thank God I didn't have a wife. You know? I didn't even have a cat. Nothing. Dog, fish, nothing. I had fake plants even. But I brought Jesus, and I decided I'm gonna let him get a bath. So get a bath. And what does he do? He leaves the water in the bathtub. I was like, oh, God, now I got to clean the bathtub after this guy and the towels. And I gave him some clothes just so he could leave, right? And poor Jesus, he didn't make it. He died. But anyhow, so I've done that, trying to do the next right thing. This is in, like, the beginning of recovery for me. It's like year 3 or something like that. And I'm still trying to do everything to the max without a lot of thought going into it. Am I practicing the principles in all my affairs? Am I getting an education? Is God teaching me? And how? God is teaching me. I'm getting what I need to get. He may be helping you more than you're helping him. And I got it, right? It does say that you may be aiding in his destruction rather than his recovery. And I have had a friend like that too, that I just like let him do what he was doing without saying anything to him about it, because I didn't want to lose his friendship. And I was hurting him more than I was helping him, you know, because it was a codependent thing going on there. And I was people pleasing, and that's not the way it works. So, all right, let me see where I am. Okay, here we go. The Good Samaritan. It talks about Never avoid the responsibilities before you you are doing the right thing. Ensure that you're doing them. Be sure that you are doing the right thing. If you assume them, helping others is the foundation stone of your recovery. A kindly act once in a while isn't enough. You have to act the Good Samaritan every day if need be. If need be. To me, I need to be. Because if I don't be, then I'm going to forget to be. And if I forget to be, I'm going to be somebody else. I don't want to have the God of Reason popping back into my life again. I have found that the Good Samaritan, you know, is mentioned in fit spiritual condition. How do I stay in fit spiritual condition? Well, at this point, I use step 11 to stay in fit spiritual condition. At night, I ask God for help. What have I done? Now, I'm lucky. I've been lucky for a long time. I had a job where I only had one boss and nobody else in my life other than the people that I tried to help in the end. I'm retired. I have nobody else in my life other than me to look after, right? And the people that come into my life that I can be helpful to. I am polite to people, and I found out that I am too nice. And that's why no women like me. That was a test I took. No, women like me. But it says, like, you know, one of my friends says, you got to be the bad boy still, Barry. They like the bad boy. And I'm like, I've been the bad boy for a long time. I don't want to be the bad boy anymore. So anyhow, so now what does it do to say sex is a problem? Turn your thoughts to how you can be helpful to somebody else. That's what I do. So that's not so bad. Life is good. It talks about families, getting involved with the families. I've been involved with the families, right? I had a friend, Gaspasi John. He did the steps the way they're written in the book, his way. And prayer, he wanted me to pray for him. And 10th step, he wanted me to tell him what was wrong in the 10th step. I said, pray to God and ask God. How do I do that? I said, talk to God. Read this, read that. Finally, one day his wife calls. Will you sponsor me? I can help him. And I'm like, oh, no, I can't do that. Anyhow, so those are the things that I have to recognize to walk away from. At a time in my life, I would have said, sure, come on over. You know, no, I won't do that. Well, we talked about people in our houses already. And, all right, burn the idea. Domestic problem. I had domestic problems. My wife was a drunk. I was a drunk. We broke up. She said, tell me when you have a new girlfriend. I told her. She cried. I was just going to ask you to go back with me. And I said, no. And that wasn't a very sober thing to do, and I wasn't sober yet. But as a result of that, and her trying to get back with me later on at my daughter's wedding, and she was drunk, like, that wasn't going to happen. And it has never happened. But everybody is different, so I can't go there. My time's probably up.
1 minute.
Oh, okay. 1 minute and 38 seconds. I want to just get into the promises, at least, that says both you and the new man must walk day by day in the path of spiritual progress. If you persist, remarkable things will happen. Well, you and the new person. But it says the word both, and both is a key word right there. Two people doing the same thing, right? If you persist, remarkable things will happen. When we look back, we realize that the things which came to us when we put ourselves in God's hands were better than anything we could have planned. Who? Powerful stuff. It's true. And all the time, I talk to the guys that I sponsor, and I ask them to look at that. Because this is a team type thing. It's me and you in this place and trying to live our life to the best of our willingness. Talks about it. Yeah, never mind about that. I just want to not miss this last piece of what we wrote here. And it says on 103.3, the last paragraph, after all, our problems were but of our own making. Bottles were only a symbol. Besides, we have stopped fighting anybody or anything. We have to. And, you know, I think about my father when I look at this. I had a horrible relationship with my father. And when he died, our relationship was somewhat better. And when they asked me to say something at the, I guess it's a eulogy or something. I time myself.
Okay.
But I found this definition about love. And I said, you know, my dad had patience. He was